And here to talk Cavaliers with us is Rick Noland with the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick, before we get going, we had Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle Telegram on with us a little bit earlier, and we talked about all the hardware taken home by the Chronicle Telegram and the Medina Gazette. You, of course, one of those that came away with some hardware, winning first place for best sports writer in 2017. So congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know what to attribute that to, but you throw a bunch of stuff against the wall, and every once in a while, some of it sticks. So I'll take it. You don't get a lot of real positive feedback sometimes in this business, so it's nice to be recognized.
Well, I'll tell you what I attribute it to, probably being a very sharp-dressed man. That's what I attribute it to.
Because now we're going there.
I was going to say, we're headed back that round.
We did spend 5 or 10 minutes on this, one of the last few times we had you on, talking about how you brought the suit out for the first time in 40 years. So I would say that, being the best-dressed guy in the room, that's got to count for something, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would hope so. I finally got the pictures for visual proof to put on my Facebook page yesterday. the comments and the responses have been pretty heartwarming and pretty funny. I wore it, and next time, who knows when that will be, but it's there are no plans for it to be anytime soon.
Well, we can tell you, Rick sounds like he's wearing a suit and tie every time he's on with us. That's how good he sounds every time he's on with us.
And honest to God, I have sweatpants and a hoodie on right now. So, I'm dressed for success of some type. I just don't know what kind.
Well, now the listening audience has that visual for the rest of the interview, so enjoy that.
Now, picture me in a three-piece navy blue suit, striped tie, black shoes. Go with that.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly rock and roll with that. Well, one guy who's not been suiting up of late would be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tyronn Lue, and of course he's not going to coach again tonight. The Cavs continue to say that he's on a game-to-game basis or a day-to-day basis. Any idea when he's going to return? I mean, I would imagine at this point, they really haven't missed much of a beat without him. That's not to say that they don't need Coach Lue, but at the same time, if the ship is sailing without any sort of repercussions without him, there really can't be any rush to get him back, can there?
Well, I don't think there is, and I think they want him to do what's best for him. I think at the same time, there's a little bit of, you want to get cohesiveness. They're Korver and Jetty Ellisman away from their players being whole, and then they get tied back, and then, the entire organization is pretty much whole. I don't know when he's coming back. My reporter gut instincts tell me that if it was even addressed and it was prior to this game that he wasn't going to coach, that being that the next two games are at home Friday and on Easter Sunday, that my gut tells me there's a chance he coaches when he comes back during one of those two games and then finishes out the season. Hopefully for him, no further complications.
Do you notice any major philosophical differences between he and Coach Drew? When you watch these games, I think sometimes that could be a tough thing to point out when you're watching on TV. But in the games that you've seen, do you notice any major differences?
Not really. And there is one. I'll get to it in a second. The little things that have been different, Ty Lue and Drew talk before every game. And so I'm assuming it was the two of them that decided to go with a starting backcourt of Calderon and Hill there. But that would be one. The only other thing I notice, and I think it's a good thing, that Larry Drew does more than Ty did, is he seems to be a bit more willing to step away from his normal rotations, be it whether somebody is playing very well or somebody is not playing real well. I think it was the big Toronto win last week where, no, actually it wasn't that game, it might have been the game before, George Hill just had an awful night. I don't think he scored a point. I think he took two shots, and I think he might have had two assists. But he had started the game, and he had him out to start the second half. Took him out a little sooner than normal. They started playing well, and rather than going back to him, which is what they've done in, you know, when they've had a rotation virtually all season, he just never put him back in. He rode the guys who were getting the job done to the finish line. So that would be the one difference, maybe, that he seems to have adapted or adjusted, whatever the word you want to use is, to in-game moments. And this is not a knock against Ty, but I've been impressed. I would go so far as to say maybe has done that better than Ty. Of course, you know, when you're winning as they are now, everything you do looks pretty good, and you're not open to much second-guessing because of the final result. So I've liked him as a coach. Quite honestly, I have seen, you know, no indication of drop-off in effort, concentration, or focus. One might even argue that there's been some improvement in those areas. But I think, you know, long-term, big picture, they'd like to get Ty in there, not rushing him, but sooner rather than later, get everything together, and get situated with, you know, what they're going to have going into the postseason, which you know, quite frankly, now looks really, really good, especially when you consider all the problems, you know, teams like Golden State and Boston are having at the moment with injuries to key players. So, you know, whereas it once, you know, maybe two weeks ago even looked like they might be hard-pressed to get out of the second round, you know, they're suddenly looking once again like, you know, one of the teams that you have to consider a favorite to get to the finals.
Is it a major concern, though, with Ty Lue out? Because it seems at this point of the season, I mean, everything, for lack of a better word, is kind of set the way it is. It's just that managing aspect you mentioned there with Larry Drew.
Yeah, I just think it's the voice. I mean, the message might be the same, but they might deliver it a bit different. Again, they were fortunate to have a quality coach on their bench like Larry Drew that could step in and had a head coaching experience. He's been absolutely phenomenal in dealing with the media and answering questions. But I just think, you know, you want to know what you have and what you're going to have. And while they're confident Ty's coming back at some point, you know, until he's on the bench, he hasn't come back, if that makes any sense. So I just think that they'd like to get him in and get him back on the bench before the end of the regular season so that they, you know, they have that. It's not an adjustment they're making as the playoffs begin, I guess, is what I'm saying they don't want to have happen.
Mm-hmm. We're talking Cavs with Rick Dolan of the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, Rick, are you in the camp that Jose Calderon should play more? It just seems like the Cavs offense seems to be a lot more efficient when he's out there. And, look, the numbers don't lie. When the Cavaliers decide to play him, well, the win-loss record has been pretty impressive. Are you one of those that believes that Calderon should be out there more?
Well, I mean, there's definitely proof in the numbers. You know, and the thing with Korver really opened that up for Jose to continue to play. Now that Rodney Hood is back and when Korver's back, it's just going to be real difficult, I think. Because, if you're starting, as I'm assuming they're going to start George Hill and somebody, be it Korver or Rodney Hood, you're still trying to play Jordan Clarkson, J.R. Smith, and whichever one of those two between Korver and Hood don't start. That's three guards you're trying to play, basically, off the bench. One of them being the small forward, but that's still three guys for three spots. And I just don't know, when they're completely whole, how much time there really is for Jose Calderon. I mean, the guy has been unbelievable. He's been a complete pro, and he's been ready every time he's been needed. And I think that's a good thing for the Cavs because, you know, there's been proof on two or three occasions this season that you can sit him for a long stretch of time and then, you know, almost forget he's on the roster if you're a casual fan. But then when you really need to try something different or when injuries really hit, they've been able to go to him, and he's answered the call every time. So, yeah, I can argue that he should play. Numbers-wise, it's going to be a little more difficult to actually make that happen and not take away from everyone trying to play too many people. Because, you know, there's 13 guys on this team that you can argue deserve minutes. You know, Zizic isn't getting any now. Jetty's been out. Korver's been hurt. So when Korver comes back, if you can only play 10, somebody has to join, you know, Jetty and Zizic watching most of the time. And when you really crunch numbers and analyze positions and lineups, it just looks to me like that guy's going to be Jose Calderon.
Which is interesting because you're right. There are going to be a series of guys who probably have to get used to sitting on the bench. And I find it interesting because when you get into the playoffs, especially deep into the playoffs, chances are you're only going to go about 8 or 9 deep. And even that
Correct.
Might be a little bit of a stretch. So my next question has to do with who some of those other guys might be specifically. Where and how does J.R. Smith fit into these future rotations? Does he get left out?
Well, it's possible. Now, what we still don't know to start all this off is who is actually going to start when everybody's healthy, because I still would argue that they're their best team when Kyle Korver starts and plays a lot with LeBron James. Now, they've done well in the games he's missed, so, you know, maybe they go back to Hood or I don't think they'll go back to JR there because I think they feel like they've given him enough chances at major, major minutes. But I don't think they're going to stick with a starting backcourt of Calderon and Hill. There's not much size there and possible mismatches as you progress in the playoffs with some bigger guards. But it could be JR. It could be Rodney Hood. It could be Tristan gets his cut and they play LeBron at power forward for large chunks of the time when Nance and or Love needs a rest. It's why coaches make big bucks. And it's why also, you know, that it is encouraging to know that they're about to be whole again. There's some concern that when they've been whole, they have not been nearly as successful as they've been as when they've been limited and had very few options. They've actually played their best basketball of the season during the stretches where they've had a lot of guys out. So we're going to just have to see, you know, be it Larry Drew or Ty Lue or a combination of them putting their heads together, whether they can hit on the right matchups and in the right rotations. And it's, you know, it's possible even that it could change series to series depending on what the opponent brings. It's a pleasant problem to have, but it's one that there's a lot of delicate things going on there, and I know these guys are pros and they're making a lot of money, but they have egos and some of them are tender, so you're gonna have to take all that into account as well. And you know, you would think at this level of basketball that you wouldn't have to tell a guy that the reason he is not playing is not a direct reflection of anything he's done or not done. I think, some kind, soothing words from members of the coaching staff in that regard could go a long way because you may need that guy again down the road. So it'll be something to keep an eye on from here on out.
If the playoffs were to begin today, the Cavaliers would be a 3 seed. It's going to take a lot to get any higher than a 3 seed because they're about 6 games
right
behind the Celtics.
Right.
Now, the Celtics, of course, are very dinged up, so there's a chance they could totally fall apart, but it's not likely. If the Cavaliers remain a three seed, I don't think that's really a bad thing. Are there any teams out there that you'd really rather not see in the first round?
Well, I mean, the one that comes to mind is Philly. They just got Markel Fultz back the other night on a limited basis. They don't have, you know, any playoff experience with the vast majority of players on their roster, but they're athletic. Their bigs are athletic, can play inside and out. And, you know, they just might have the old ignorance is bliss thing about the playoffs and not realize that they're supposed to, you know, the game's supposed to become harder and slower, and they might just be able to run right through it. I you know, let's face it, the Cavs have been to three straight NBA finals. It hasn't really mattered who they've played or where they've played. They're 36-5 in the playoffs in the last 3 years. You know, Toronto's going to represent a legit challenge. Boston could. But the rest of the teams, if you have trouble with any of the five teams that should finish below you, then that's more on you, I think, than on whatever team you might be playing.
Going to be interesting to see who they end up playing in that first round, because there's quite a bit that's unsettled in seeds 4-8.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun for us to watch as fans to see who they end up matching up against in that first round. But it's looking more and more likely that they'll end up taking on the Celtics and the Eastern Conference semis. Who would have predicted that at the beginning of the year?
Well, yeah, I mean, you would have probably bet pretty big money that one of those two teams was going to be the number one seed, and that the other one would be two, so that they wouldn't meet before the finals. But, you know, Toronto's had a really good year. I will say that, though, you know, Boston's two right now, and they've proven that they can be a pretty darn good team without Kyrie, but they sometimes struggle to score, and depending on who they match up with in the first round, it's not an absolute lock that they get out. I'm not saying they're not going to win, but or I wouldn't be shocked if they don't, but it's not a guarantee. You know, this is not like the Warriors of the last 3 years, or even the Cavs of the last 3 years. The one has shrunken. One, the difference between 1-8 has shrunken drastically in the East, and the difference between, you know, 1-6 or 1-7 in the West has been reduced quite a bit too, simply because Houston, despite its unbelievable regular season, it still has playoff question marks surrounding it. Harden has not had tremendous team success in the postseason. I'm sure he's out to change that, but it's going to be an interesting playoffs. You know, especially when you look at the Warriors not going to have Steph, and you know, a bunch of other guys are out as well. So it's almost like survival of the fittest, and the Cavs have the most fit man on the planet in LeBron James. So he's been there every game so far, and I anticipate he'll be there every game throughout the course of the regular season. But you're only one monster jump in the air and a foot landing on another guy's foot and ankle, been in real awkward from all that changing in a heartbeat. So some of it's luck. And we're just going to have to see, you know, over these next couple months, how everything shakes out.
Yeah, absolutely. And only 9 games left in this regular season for the
is
Cavs.
That all it is? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
That's it.
I got to kick it into playoff mode here pretty soon.
That's it. Might have to dig that suit out. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Got to make sure the shirt's pressed and everything else here. So
that's right. Got to put the sweatpants away. Good stuff.
Yeah, boy.
Rick, we appreciate the time as always, my man. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
That's Rick Nolan, Cavs beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette, spending some time with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.